Welcome to Good Returns TV. I'm Philip McAllister. In the studio today, we have from AIA, their Chief Distribution Officer, Sharon Boddicker. Welcome, Sharon. We've had you before and always nice to see you back again.
Thank you, Philip. It's great to be back.
That's good. Now, today we're going to talk about the wellbeing survey AIA did. And we're really interested in it because readers will have seen that we've started doing a series on the website, just digging into it a little bit more. And there's some fascinating information in there about, the health and wellbeing of advisors. When you read this report, what was probably the biggest thing which you took out of it or the biggest surprise for you?
One of the things that when we commissioned the second round of research, we kind of thought coming out of COVID and people moving through the regulation space that we would see a bigger improvement in overall advisor wellbeing than we did. So for me, what we did see is that stress caused by regulation changed to stress caused by compliance. And still a lot of almost fear or not knowing how to navigate some of this new space in compliance. So that was probably the big thing. The other piece looking into the data was really this difference between where advisors are spending their time.
Yeah, we'll come to that a little bit later. Look, I thought it was quite interesting, as well. It's just, I thought overall that advisors were actually more positive than I expected. And I thought they would have been, down in the dumps a bit more. Yeah. So that was a positive outtake. But it was also interesting, they did feel much better about things. So were you surprised about that part of it as well?
I think the difference between the two as well is when we first ran the research in 2021, some advisors were still deciding where they're going to stay in the industry. Yeah. And now they've moved through that. They're all, part of FAPs. They've all gone through their own licensing and education pieces. Yeah. So they're more committed to the industry now.
Oh, it appears to me that there's been a big change in that space. It's interesting because we're recording this pretty much on the first anniversary of the new legislation coming in, and it feels that there is a real concern around compliance that the FMA is going to come along and do a monitoring visit and going to really come down on advisors. How do you think, that was quite new, but how do you think advisors can handle that?
One of the things we found, which I think is great about our industry, is that for some advisors and advisor groups who've been through that process with the FMA, they've actually shared what it was like as well. And that is a sharing to help other advisors, should this happen, how best to prepare for it, and also some of the outputs that have come through from the FMA.
So would it be a good idea that there's more sort of peer-to-peer networking going on amongst advisors, those who've had visits and those who have still to have one yet?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that something that we should be looking at doing?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
And so it's getting away from being competitors but actually sharing. Yeah.
And that's also in the survey results is showing, some of the wellbeing improvements actually comes from support that advisors have from outside their own business. So that could be from providers, it can be from their peers, it can be from networks such as MDRT, for example. So think it is showing those advisors who are prepared to seek help and ask others and network, they generally will receive that good feedback.
Oh, look, that's so true. And, I think MDRT is a great example. That's a cohort of people who are just all in there together and they help each other. And I think it's, they set a bit of an aspirational goal for others. One of the things which really surprised me, and I think surprised a lot of people, is essentially how unproductive the industry is. 40% of their time spent on admin and only like 12% of time doing what they actually love doing, giving advice. Shock.
Yeah, it hasn't changed markedly from the last survey in 2021 to 2023. So you think of new technologies and new ways of doing things and the digitisation that's happened over those last few years. It is very surprising. And there is more that we actually as a provider need to do to support advisors in that space because of some of that admin overhead because of our processes and our systems and that's a very strong focus for us.
Advisors are always very good at complaining about providers' systems. And so have you got any new tools coming up to help advisors?
To support advisors, we're looking at what else we can do in the wellbeing space for them. and also how we can help them individually and their businesses. Mm. So we have our peak performance program, which is all about helping from a wellbeing perspective and then helping them to set up their businesses for success. So that's one thing that we are continuing to roll out. Equally, we are in the middle of rolling out our new revitalized Vitality app as well. Nice. So we've been thrilled to see both advisors engage with that, but also their customers and how advisors are talking about wellbeing for themselves, but also how that translates to wellbeing for their customers as well.
Mm-hmm. And are there other things that, you know, the industry as a whole can do to sort of, you know, get away from all this, I'll call it compliance, but it's just this admin burden?
Yeah, I think collectively within the industry, we all need to be looking at what are the ways and how we can help advisor businesses to grow. But equally, there is a key part for advisors on managing their existing customers. So let's not overburden advisors in that process. Equally, some of the things that we've been doing, and I've had a conversation with the FMA around the results of this wellbeing research as well, and really highlighting the findings, plus some of the things that advisors have been telling us about compliance and other things that impact them.
It was interesting. I think the FMA, their tone seems to have changed a little bit about being there more to help advisors, which I thought seemed to be quite a positive development. Yeah,
I think it's fantastic that they are doing that. And they really do want to support advisors. Mm. Yeah, we've got regulatory returns, which will be due this year for all FAPs as well. Mm. And the FMA are keen to engage with advisors and advisor groups around that.
So are advisors worried about the regulatory returns or?
Some.
What's your take on that?
Yeah, some are doing almost mock returns at the moment.
Yeah, okay.
To get themselves prepared to see if there are any gaps or any data requirements that they may need. Some, I hope, are not waiting till the last minute.
But again, I'm sure there will be some.
Yeah. We spoke to the FMA. Is there something jointly that we can do together just to help raise awareness and make sure that advisors are pre-planning in that as well?
Yeah. And on the not so positive side, you know, there's this. You know, we've seen the industry change quite a lot in the last couple of years with a lot of the older cohort moving out and retiring, and we've got new blood coming in. But the you know, probably one of the most worrying things in the report was that this younger cohort around 30 years old were really struggling at the moment. What's your take on that, and why do you think that's happening, and you know, how do we deal with it? Yeah. I mean, we don't want to lose these people.
That's exactly right, because there's been so much focus on bringing new blood into the industry. And for so many years, like as long as I've been in the industry, the average age of an advisor has been 50 plus. Yeah. So we're now starting to see some of that change, which is really refreshing. Mm. But what we are seeing through the results is that they are struggling to navigate into a new industry and with some of the requirements that are expected around learning and competency and compliance and running a business. Mm. So it comes back to some of the pieces around how do we help them from their own personal wellbeing. So sleep is quite an issue. So what are some of those things to help them with, as well as again back to networking? Mm. How can we get them connected into industry who will help them to grow and build their business? And I see a lot of advisors who are so keen to do networking and mentoring. So how can we help to create?
Yeah, there seems to be a growing group of people who are working in that space. In fact, I got an email yesterday from an old hand advisor who was basically looking to set up, you know, a little business helping people through these processes, which I thought was great.
That.
Yeah. So watch this space.
Yeah, that's great.
It was quite interesting. People were, one of the ways they were sort of managing stress and stuff was just taking time out a bit more and things like that. Mm. The question really is, you know, do you think out of the report we saw an improvement in how people were managing the stress levels?
We did see some improvements in that particular space. Look, if you're an advisor who lives in Marlborough, then your wellbeing is well up there. Yeah. So that's the place to live and work. But for others, there were still some challenges around setting boundaries. Mm. So, you know, particularly if your office is at home. Mm. And so how do you create some of those disciplines to create those boundaries where you can have your time, your family time and your work time?
Yeah, that boundary issue is really interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't think working from home necessarily was a good thing in that sense.
No.
No. And just finally to wrap up, like, personal question. So how do you manage, you know, mental health and wellbeing?
Mm. There's a great term one of my colleagues use. It's called mental fitness. Okay. And I've recently, and I know you've done the Milford track as well, I had an experience where I broke my ankle. And then for me, when prior to that, I'd got myself into a great regime from a well-being and a fitness perspective. So I've kind of had to adjust what I do during that period, but have a very, for me, that mental fitness and having good mental health is very important to me. Then just helps me to create the right attitude to what I'm going to do. I mentioned that we've got the new Vitality app coming out, and what that allows us to do is actually to navigate. It's not all about the physical fitness. There are things that I can do that actually support my overall well-being during this time when, you know, I'm really looking to heal and then return to, you know, my usual kind of physical activity and things like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm quite excited about the new app now launching.
Yeah, oh, I'm looking forward to seeing your new app and seeing what it's got in it.
Yeah, and tell me about, because I know you've done the Milford track as well, so obviously for you, from a well-being perspective, how do you...
Oh, great. I don't normally get the questions. Thanks, Sharon. To me, it's like one of the things I think about is like healthy body, healthy mind. And I just think, you know, if you keep yourself, you know, physically, you know, in good shape, it actually helps you mentally. And so I do a lot of crazy things, and it's really important. But I also, there's a related to that in another way, is like just being really clear about taking time out from work. And I'm lucky because I run the business. You know, I can be in a space where I'm in the office, I'm just not being productive, and something's not happening or whatever. And I think, well, I'm just going to go and, you know, into the forest and go for a run or something. And I leave my phone behind and come back and feel much better. It's like, you know, but it's also been, a lot of it's about, you know, being self-aware, you know, just what you're doing and what's going on around you. It's one of those things I think we keep learning as we get older.
Indeed.
So thank you for that. And look, thank you for coming in. It's been great catching up with you, and hopefully your ankle gets better soon.
It will real soon, I'm confident.
Good. Next big walk then. Good on you. Thanks, Sharon.
Likewise.